Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's Christmas!
Don't let the bells end, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the third of our 12 Rambles of Christmas, a daily countdown of what we see as the 12 defining topics in football since we first switched on those microphones of ours back in 2007.
We haven't changed them since.
Oh, if it's not broke,
the same kit.
Yeah.
We pulled up the faders, Mom, and switched them on.
We did actually, yeah, that's true.
They are phantom powered, so there is power involved, Marcus.
Are they omnidirectional, Pete?
No, I think just one direction.
Okay.
Into our gullets.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. Gullets.
A little interesting glint behind the curtain there.
One direction. No takers? Okay. You're just repeating a phrase.
No takers to what?
Little puns involving the band.
You don't know you're beautiful. No,
there we go, Jim. Right, Jim, okay. Learn from that.
Yeah. I'll kiss you.
Yeah. There we go, you see. Peter?
I don't know any of their songs.
Oh, radio DJ, so pathetic. Cool. Pathetic. That's a pop music show on the radio.
It's a sign of the times.
Pop music show.
Granddad.
It's all about embrace.
Anyway, what's number 10? I know what it is. I just want people to know.
He's very excited because number 10, I don't know how this got in the list. Portsmouth win the FA Cup in 2008.
Disgraceful.
Oh. I had a veto. I had a power of veto. I used it.
This should have come way further down.
How did all 27 members agree to that? I don't know.
Can I just say,
sack the board.
This is ostensibly the first one I'm going to be able to endure. And actually, it's not. I enjoyed the South Africa one.
Yeah.
But we couldn't enjoy the yesterday's one because it was a bit sad. Ostensibly, I can enjoy this one, but then I knew what happened afterwards.
Yeah. Yes. So, and that is the context. You see, this is the funny thing. You know, nowadays in football, you know, we're used to the riches of the Premier League and all the quality on show. We're well aware as well of a number of football clubs that have been terribly managed and nearly run into the ground. Not so much in the Premier League, but fans and club owners have had their fair share of spats in the past, but what happened with Portsmouth, it used to happen to sort of tiny little clubs that you didn't really hear about. It wasn't sort of headline stuff. I mean, there may be one or two examples there, but generally speaking,
you're going to hear about them on the email.
Anyway, but the thing is, though, Marcus, we're here to talk about winning the FA Cup. So yeah. I'm not sure how this is relevant.
This is very much the part of Up where the old man and the old lady get together.
Oh, that's sad.
Before the sad things happen.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. But let me clarify those comments. I think when you talk about Premier League sides and even Championship sides, if clubs were badly managed, again, it wasn't as sort of headline news and it wasn't as obvious, but Portsmouth were one of the big examples in modern football where we saw a big club who had been punching above their weight for a little while just have the rug pulled from beneath them.
Well, they were the first Premier League team to go into administration, I think. Yeah, so that would be a good example of that.
And it's hard to think that Portsmouth, now of England's third tier, won the FA Cup in 2008, which you know, with a side that included many internationals, their squad included David James, Glenn Johnson, Sol Campbell, who were all very much internationals at the time, Lassana Diarra, who would go on to play for Real Madrid, John Utah, who went on to win Ligue 1 with Montpellier, Nico Krankar, who of course went to Spurs after, and Champions League winners Pedro Mendes and Nwankwo Kanu.
But you look at Pompey...
Kanu was in his 30s at the time.
Well, you look at the sort of players that Pompey have had in the last sort of 15 years. Like Glenn Johnson, Begovic, Matt Ritchie. Boateng, for crying out loud.
We've had a lot of good players.
Kevin Prince.
Defoe, Crouch. I mean, like, they had a team at some point, just not all at the same time.
And before people sort of... I mean, no, I'm going to get criticism for ramrodding this into the lineup, but we did vote on this fairly. And what I would say is that this was probably the biggest FA Cup upset, I would say, since Wimbledon in 1988.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, yeah,
it's bigger than Everton in 95.
That would be the only other one.
Yeah. And other than that, it was pretty slim pickings for the FA Cup in terms of winning upsets. Mm. Until Wigan, obviously, which came along afterwards. But at that point, that's probably the Portsmouth winning the FA Cup, which we're going to learn about in a minute, so strap yourselves in. It's arguably the biggest FA Cup winning upset in 20 years.
Well, Portsmouth, they had finished the season in eighth position, ahead of Manchester City and Tottenham Hotspur on 57 points, which again shows you the context as well.
And they were brilliant in the first half of that season.
They were, yeah.
You know, they in December, I can remember them beating Aston Villa away 3-1. And it was something like their sixth straight away win. They'd only lost two games at that point, I think to Chelsea and Arsenal, narrowly. Mm. And it sounds ridiculous now, of course, but I went back and dug up the match report from that Villa away win. Mm-hmm. And it was saying that Portsmouth maintained their unlikely Champions League push. Yeah.
Do you remember they beat Reading 7-4 that season?
Yeah.
Maybe the craziest Premier League game we've seen.
Mm. Yeah.
It was incredible.
So, I mean, they were, you know, though it was an upset, they were a decent team at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it was an upset just because the traditional big teams, and I think Pompey are a reasonably sized club, but nowhere near the likes of the ones we usually see win the FA Cup, I suppose.
It was a surprise. I think an upset, you tend to think of an upset being in a particular game, and because they had a lower league,
a
division below them, it wasn't an upset in that context, but the wider context was, if you look at the names on the FA Cup since, I think, Everton beat Manchester United, although Everton, you know, obviously were an established Premier League side in the mid-90s, it's all Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea. Yeah. You know, Portsmouth is an anomaly in there.
Well, Manchester United under Ferguson didn't win as many FA Cups as you'd think, but no. I take your point, it was dominated by big clubs.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Well, 731 teams competed in the FA Cup in 2008, but Pompey won it.
They had a much harder run than Cardiff. I mean, let's make that very clear.
Yeah. What was Cardiff's run?
Cardiff's run, I've got it here.
Well, what is it?
So it was Chasetown at home, won that 3-1. Hereford United away, won that 2-1. Wolves at home, 2-0. Middlesbrough away, 2-0. And they had Barnsley in the semi, which they won 1-0. Okay. So, a dream.
I mean...
Barnsley, of course.
But getting past Boateng and Tunshire, that's all you ever had with the Borough. That's the only two players they would have got past there.
And people talk, I mean, sort of fairly regularly about Portsmouth having an easy run in that cup as well, because they only played one Premier League team. Mm. But they only had one home game. Mm. All the other games were away.
Yeah, well, third round.
Skins all over the place, mate. It's like an explosion at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that.
But not as expensive.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, but actually,
in the long run.
Twice as expensive.
In the third round, Portsmouth beat Ipswich 1-0 away from home. You know, there was only one goal in it, and it was scored by the difference himself, David Nugent, latching on to Sol Campbell's ball over the top.
Yeah, and Portsmouth really toiled in that game. He came off the bench, Nugent, because, I mean, he was this player that had been signed by the club that the manager, Redknapp, didn't really want. And so he wasn't really used that often, possibly because it has been reported that there were certain other reasons why Harry Redknapp was picking other particular strikers. Mm-hmm. And we'll leave that one there. But they had to rely on Nugent to come off the bench to score the winner. And it was, they didn't play that well in that game.
No, but David James made some great saves. Liam Trotter was sent off for Ipswich for a huge lunge on Pedro Mendes, which was awful.
That's right.
But David James,
a magnet for that, wasn't he, Pedro?
Yeah, he got on the end of a few, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. But David James was brilliant. And you can sometimes forget old Calamity James, how good he was. And when he went to Portsmouth, he was brilliant.
By that point, he'd sort of lost that moniker, I think, to a certain extent. Because he was sod at Liverpool.
Yeah.
He would come out for everything and just flap it, drop it, miss it.
He was very, very good at Portsmouth.
Mm. England's number one.
There's not many keepers, if any, you'd be able to say were better than him at Portsmouth.
No.
I mean, most people wouldn't be able to give you a name or two more than more than one or two players who would be at his level in terms of goalkeepers. Probably the best goalkeeper we've had.
Yeah, it felt like he was sort of in a bit of an Indian summer, didn't it? Even then. But I think he played for another six or seven seasons after that. It's phenomenal. Yeah,
he did go bankrupt, to be fair. Yeah, he needed to work.
Yeah.
Perhaps after his career, then, I think.
He was in Iceland, wasn't he?
Oh, that's right. He went to play in Iceland, yeah.
I think that might have been under Herman Hrydalsson, who he met at Portsmouth.
There you go.
The friendships live on.
In the fourth round, Portsmouth beat Paul Sturrock's Plymouth Argyle 2-1 at home. Pompey managed to hang on.
Yeah, no. Well, Plymouth went a goal ahead in that game.
They did.
Pompey always looked okay. I mean, luckily enough for us, we had Lassana Diarra, and he scored a great goal to equalise, and Nico Kranjčar scored.
This is
it. Phenomenal, isn't it?
Those kinds of players, they were international players playing at Portsmouth, which is crazy. Yeah. I mean, go on, Jim.
Also managed by Harry Redknapp as well. Like, yeah. There's the sort of Premier League quality all over there, and you forget that when you look at them falling down the Pompey Highway, as we've seen.
Yeah, but this is the context of it, is because Portsmouth, with this FA Cup run, finishing in the top half of the Premier League table, this shows how things can change, and how long we've been doing this podcast for, because football, lots can change in a fairly short space of time, of course. Into the fifth round, Pompey were away to Preston North End, and the opening paragraph of the BBC match report read, Darren Carter's late own goal ensured Pompey undeservedly progressed to the FA Cup quarterfinals, and it was a bit of a glol as well. David James again saving a second-half penalty. Yeah, and Portsmouth were very relieved to come away from that.
They
game.
Toiled. Preston weren't even that good that season. Preston had a period of time where they were sort of decent quality second-tier team, but they weren't that good that season. And Portsmouth really toiled. It was a very last minute. I think they thought they were going to get a replay out of it. And Darren Carter scored an own goal. I think it was a 92nd minute or something.
It smashed into the roof of his own net.
Spectacular.
Yeah. Mm. But many Premier League sides had been beaten by lower opposition by this point. Only Manchester United, Chelsea and Portsmouth had made it through to the quarterfinals, Peter.
Mm. And I think that at that point, from memory, I wasn't really thinking about Portsmouth winning the FA Cup. I was sort of thinking, because once you get complacent, you adjust. When you think about, if you get a new job and you get loads more money, you think, oh, I'm going to be rich. But you don't. You just adjust, right? Your expectations adjust. And when Portsmouth were doing well in the Premier League, we had a great start of the season that year. And as you said, Marcus, we finished eighth. And so you just sort of expect, we've been drawn against lower league opposition, so we should be winning. And although they toiled a little bit here and there, you think, well, we're still in the hat and we should still be in the hat. And you don't really expect to go on to win it. I mean, I think when you get into the quarterfinal, then you start thinking, we've got a chance here. But then, obviously, Portsmouth were drawn away to Manchester United.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, that's just our luck. Typical Pompey. We'll not get anywhere here. And I also remember thinking at the time when we drew Manchester United, I thought, if we had got that at Fratton Park, I'd have fancied that. Because I'll tell you, our record against Man United at home when we were in the Premier League was absolutely decent. We drew against them in the league already that season, 1-1. And the season before that, we beat them 2-1. And they scored a late consolation. In 2004-05, we beat them easily 2-0. And the season before that, we beat them 1-0 at home. So our record against United at home was actually very, very good.
Ah, yesterday.
I know, right? Yeah. I can't really talk about that now.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we will talk about that quarterfinal, the semifinals and the final after...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This.
What's he saying? It's a really good ball. It's Shabalala! Goal! Bafana Bafana! Goal for South Africa! Goal for...
Frosty the Snowman!
Well, before we talk about the greatest Frosty robbery in the history of the FA Cup, Luke Moore has this to say.
We're talking about Pompey's winner. Yeah, we've chosen our 12, we're counting down, but we'd love for you listening at home to get in touch with your favourite moment since 2007 or so. And on Christmas Eve, we're going to choose our favourite one from you, the listener, which will win you a 55-inch 4K TV from Toshiba. In addition to that amazing Christmas present, we'll also record your moment as an extra show at some point in the new year. So an extra bit of content as well.
55-inch, what a beauty.
All about the added value. We're going to record a 55-inch extra show. Toshiba offers you the chance to watch every football match in 4K picture clarity. Thanks to the TV's pinpoint sharp resolution, no detail, no flick or kick of the ball will ever be missed. Enjoy 24/7 access to a whole world of online content, including catch-up TV and on-demand services such as Netflix. With this TV, you can also access last week's shows, on-demand on Freeview Play. For an authentic audio experience, it also comes with a subwoofer to project the bass sound. Don't just hear, but feel the roar of the crowd. Mm. So for your chance to win, email in with your favourite moment from 2007 onwards to show@footballramble.com, and Pete will be collating them all.
I will. I mean, you might want to go for 2012, Mike Ashley making the top 15 in Forbes' UK Rich List.
Why not? That's going to be up there.
That's got to be up there, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of suggestions for that, I think.
Blimey. It's enough to make you vomit in a fireplace, isn't it? Oh, dear. Right then, as we talked about before the break, Pompey had been drawn away to Manchester United. Harry Redknapp's men surely had run out of lucky escapes, Jim.
I think the thing that's worth mentioning about this as well, this is the United of Ronaldo, Rooney and Tevez in that front three. They won the league and the Champions League.
Yeah. Can I just say that Portsmouth stopped Manchester United from winning the treble that season.
It's one of the great Premier League teams, right?
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
What, Portsmouth?
Yeah. But they're true. They won the league and the Champions League that season. If they'd have beaten Portsmouth in the FA Cup, they would have been an absolute shoo-in. You know, they won a treble in 99, of course, and a treble is such a rare thing.
Yeah. But it was the Pompey boys that stopped them.
Sometimes it just goes that way, doesn't it? No, but the thing is, football is amazing for this. Now, I'm not just saying this because it's my team. I'm partly saying it for that.
Mostly saying it.
But we all know what I mean when I say football has a sort of a habit of throwing that sort of stuff up there. And they absolutely battered Portsmouth in that quarter.
Like wet toilet roll on a ceiling.
I couldn't get a ticket. Yeah, I couldn't get a ticket for the game. There was reported that a ridiculous amount of applications were made. They had about 8,000 or 9,000 allocated, and I think something like 60,000 people applied for a ticket. I couldn't get one. And I remember watching it at home in my flat and thinking, it was almost like when Jamie Carragher said at half time in the Champions League final, let's just not embarrass ourselves.
Yeah. Let's take the three.
Get out of here now with a three. I was thinking, this is bad because I do a football podcast and I'm going to get hammered for
this. I'm going to have to talk about this.
And then they just couldn't score. They had a shoe in for a penalty, which wasn't given. I don't know if you guys have watched it back, but Michael Carrick missed one of the open...
Oh, man, that was amazing.
I still
rounds the keeper.
Yeah, I still can't see how he's... Even now, how that happened. It deserves to go down as one of the worst open goal misses I've ever seen.
What was the one? Was it Distan or one of the defenders? He cleared it off the line, but didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, that was in the first half.
That was a separate incident.
That sounds like Distan, to be fair.
Yeah. The whole match was like a goalmouth scramble, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't one of those games where you think, Portsmouth are frustrating them. It's the longer this goes on, you just thought to yourself,
It's an inevitability. Well, yeah, I mean,
okay. As the minutes ticked away, you thought, oh, they're only going to win 4-0. Oh, there's only time for three goals now.
Yeah.
It was just utterly inevitable.
Ferguson would have said to them at half-time, just carry on as you are. Yeah, it'll be fine. There's no problem. We're a brilliant team. And it just never happened for them. It never came. And then, of course...
12 minutes to go.
Yeah, Portsmouth broke through and
Kuchak
came out and was sent off and...
Failed Milan Baroš.
I know.
Yeah.
Rio Ferdinand had to go and goal. And the thing is, Rio Ferdinand almost saved that penalty.
Yeah.
If he had been a properly trained goalkeeper, it would have been safe. No question.
Because he would have thrown himself completely to that side.
The technique in which he dives means that he leaves a bit there. He's not fully at full stretch.
To be fair, it was Sully Montari who drilled the penalty home.
But I still think, if you look at it again, I still think it might have been saved.
Do you know what I love, though, is the fact that with Montari's attitude to that penalty, obviously he could strike a ball magnificently well, but Portsmouth, they had their chance. We're taking this. Thank you. Bang.
Yeah.
But the thing was, there was still 12 minutes to go. And you thought to yourself, oh my goodness, I can't believe, even when Portsmouth scored, you didn't think, oh, are they going to shut up? How are they? You just thought, oh, Man United will have to win this 2-1.
Put it this way. No point, even though United were down to 10 men, was I thinking, yeah, we'll just get them on the break now.
No, absolutely.
Just get this game over with. Get it over with.
Ronaldo got 31 league goals that season. This was that season when he was posting ridiculous numbers.
What did you do after the match, Luke?
Got drunk, I think. I'll tell you what, I got drunk after the final, let me tell you that.
Still sobering up, in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was incredible. So
are the financiers.
But what do you remember watching the game?
I do, yeah.
And you must have thought at the same time, this is ridiculous.
Well, of course I did. Yeah, I just thought... Like I just said, it was never a case. It wasn't like Portsmouth was shutting up shop and Man United couldn't get through and you thought, oh, the longer the game goes on. No, it was so horrendously one-sided and there were chances galore. And as Jim said, goal-mouth scrambles and Manchester United efforts that were unlucky should have had a penalty. It was a type of game that you actually hardly ever see because it was so one way. It wasn't a case of they were getting battered and there was the odd chance here and there, but they were defending quite stoutly, stubbornly. It was open. This is the weird thing. Like when I look back at that game, even watching the highlights, I think, how on earth did Portsmouth win that game?
It was the cliche of like there being a force field around the goal. It's the closest that I've ever seen.
The match report I remember reading said, I think it was in the Observer, and it said something like, Portsmouth survived siege to make semi-final of the FA Cup.
But even the goal they scored, it was a penalty. It wasn't. They didn't create anything. They didn't put a move together. It wasn't a particularly good corner. That
all right. Stop.
Also, it was a penalty which saw the sub goalkeeper sent off, so that an outfield player had to go in, and he nearly got to it.
Fair to say, the stars aligned.
Yeah, they did twice. I mean, it was, you know, if you say that the stars aligned for Liverpool in the Champions League, you know, they aligned all the way there and halfway back again for this Portsmouth run. But they got into the semi-final when all said and done, and they were the only Premier League side left. So suddenly they became the favourites.
This is where it changed. And then I remember feeling the pressure after that.
Oh, the pressure.
And you have to put this into context. Portsmouth are a team who never, ever win anything, right? They're not going to win anything anytime soon.
Didn't they win the League Two title the other year?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Yeah. Major trophies don't come along. And because we're so used, especially in... And I suppose we were living in a pre-Leicester world as well.
Yes.
You would see teams... we'd see upsets. You'd see Liverpool win the Champions League. Mm-hmm. But that's still Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, you'd see...
Yeah.
Teams of that level never won anything. And we've talked about how rarely it happened in the FA Cup as well. It was a massive thing.
It was.
And the amount of people who came out after us and all that sort of stuff would be testament to that. But the pressure really came on ahead of the semis because we had West Brom, who we were very, very fancy to beat. And I was at that game and it was a really poor game. And Kahn, who scored the only goal and nicked it. I don't remember an awful lot about the game, to be honest. They say about semi-finals, you just want to win them.
But that's the funny thing for Portsmouth fans, as you say, that even when they found themselves in the semi-final, it was theirs to lose. And that's not a position that Portsmouth fans are used to. And we know what it's like when fans and a club are not used to something. There's an air of nervousness around it all because Chelsea were beaten by Barnsley in the previous round. And even actually the quarter-final draw, the way it worked out, Portsmouth went away to Old Trafford. There was only three Premier League sides left.
Yeah.
Well, they got the hardest one away from home.
Yeah.
And so that actually, when people talk about the easy run to the final, in one sense, yes, but in one sense, absolutely not, because they had to play the best team in Europe, it would prove to be,
away
from home. And they got through, okay, by the skin of their teeth and all the rest of it.
But they did it.
But they got through. And so, yes, they slipped through the semi-final. But again, it's all about getting the result. And they did that and they steadied the ship. And then, of course, in the final, they were up against Dave Jones, Cardiff City.
Yeah, and I couldn't really enjoy that game. And it was a drab game as well.
It was.
You guys probably watching it as neutrals would have thought we would have struggled to get through it.
Well, Mike Dean was refereeing.
Yeah, that's true. There's something to hang your hat on there. Yeah.
There was some in-match entertainment.
Yeah, the atmosphere in the final was amazing. I remember thinking when I was there, God, this is... It felt like a real occasion. And the reason the atmosphere was so good at the time, I think, was probably because both teams weren't used to being part of such a set-piece occasion. Other than that, I don't remember... I mean, Aaron Ramsey coming on for Cardiff, I think. He was really highly rated, and I remember talking about that and thinking about what he would be like and hoping he didn't score against us. Yeah. And then Carney scored the only goal, of course. And I remember when it went to injury time, and you know when you're in the stadium, it just stops at 90.
That's
They don't keep counting it, so the fans don't get irate. And I remember, I think they flashed up 3 minutes. And I remember thinking, all right, fine, fair enough, whatever. You're only 1-0 up, anything can happen. I thought, oh, come on, this must be done by now. Looked down at my watch and like 25 seconds ago. It was the most slow passing of time I've ever witnessed in my entire life.
Well, it was Pompey's first FA Cup win since 1939 and their first major trophy since 1950. And as we said before, it was the first time since Wimbledon or Everton, depending on you know how much licence you want to give there, that one of the so-called big sides hadn't won it. Because it was all Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool. And Harry Redknapp became the first Englishman since Joe Royal in 1995 to win the cup, and he remains the last Englishman to have won the Old Trophy.
And when we think about this whole Portsmouth story, now everyone as a football fan will have some sort of investment in it because of the tragedy that came along afterwards. This FA Cup final win was the top of the arc, really. The story starts with them getting promoted in 2003, really. They win in 2008. Then really, that's the beginning of the end. Sadly, looking back at what happened,
they got to another FA Cup final. Well, 2 years later,
that was curious because I still maintain that May 2008 was the beginning of the end. The 2010 final, we were already rock bottom of the Premier League, in administration, been relegated. We had a transfer embargo. We had loads of loan players, and we had Avram Grant managing us.
Docked 9 points for administration.
Exactly. I have no clue how they made it to the cup final, and. Actually, one thing that people forget about that is that Portsmouth should have been in the Europa League the following year because at the time, the runners-up in the FA Cup went into the Europa League because it was against Chelsea. Mm. But they were banned from European competition, which meant I think Liverpool went in instead because they came the appropriate finishing position in the league. But everything that's happened since then, obviously they're on maybe a bit of an upward curve now, but everything that's happened since then essentially started from that very high point of that FA Cup win in 2008. After that, of course, in October, Redknapp went to Spurs. Tony Adams came in. Then we had Avram Grant. What essentially happened was Portsmouth were being propped up by a wealthy, in quotes, owner who wasn't spending his own money. He was essentially borrowing loan money against the Premier League status of the club, which is always going to come crashing down at some
signing
point.
Signing players on wages that a club like Portsmouth just shouldn't be handing out.
Yeah,
I mean, there was always, you know, people couldn't believe how much the likes of John Utaka are on.
Sol Campbell was on a huge amount.
I mean, it was just incredible. And this was, as you say, this was when they started to fall like a stone all the way down what we now know as the Pompey Highway. I mean, it's 4 years after winning the FA Cup, they were in England's fourth tier League Two. Mm. You know, careful what you wish for.
Yeah. And people will say that, you know, Portsmouth maybe in quotes cheated financially to win that FA Cup. I don't know if I necessarily fully agree with that because everyone was under the impression that the owner was wealthy and the checks and balances that are in place to stop owners taking on clubs are as they are. And we all know how about that. And everyone thought that he was ploughing his own money into the club. It was only a bit later on when it started to become unravelled that it wasn't the case. There was no fan really could know because essentially the fans were being lied to. And one thing that will always stick in my mind, I don't think I'll ever get a better moment than this as a football fan, is when Bobby Robson was up there as part of the party that presented the trophy to Sol Campbell. And I loved Bobby Robson. I absolutely loved him for his England heroics and because he's a legend in the game. Yeah. And I thought, this isn't going to get any better than this for me as a Portsmouth fan. And it hasn't, and it probably never will.
Yeah, there we are. And as I was perhaps trying to say earlier, that Portsmouth were the first big club for some people's attention that have really mismanaged themselves awfully. And since then, we've seen a few, sadly. Charlton, perhaps Leighton Orient, Hull City, Blackpool.
You're saying we're ahead of our time?
Maybe.
Trailblazers.
But we're certainly more aware of this thing in football, and I think that because of the Portsmouth example.
Yeah. Well, there's an example that, you know, teams know to avoid because it's happened.
Yeah.
But Portsmouth. Yeah.
Well, Portsmouth, I think that up until a number of years ago, fans just generally either didn't care about what happened off the pitch or didn't have any interest in it or just didn't know.
Or now, believe it could be that bad.
But you couldn't ignore.
Now everyone knows.
You couldn't ignore what was going on at Portsmouth.
No.
Has what happened after all that sort of affected your opinion of Harry Redknapp in any way, Luke?
And we'll leave that there. Bombay, of course, they got themselves promoted from League Two in 2017. And are they reversing back up the Pompey Highway? Will we see them in an FA Cup final in perhaps 4 or 5 years' time?
As part of the next 10 years, big moments.
Yeah,
in the football
probably
round.
Not.
Does anyone want to hazard a guess as to what their number one was when Pompey won the FA Cup?
I should know, really, shouldn't I?
You should, really. You should have been celebrating in the nightclubs of, Wembley.
Yeah. We only got 4 minutes to say the word. Oh. Dane Bowers and Victoria Beckham. Oh, no, it's Justin Timberlake and Madonna.
I mean, that's a diss to Madonna, Justin Timberlake, isn't it?
I mean, you went Bowers and the English equivalent.
For some reason, I was thinking of that song You're Out of Your Mind by Dane Bowers.
Oh, that was you.
Have you got that one?
I've not got that one.
Wait, no. Give us some news and travel.
In the clubs in Portsmouth, though, we're still playing that.
They probably still are.
And now for the...
Maybe Avram Grant had a massage to it.
He probably did. He probably had a massage to most things.
Law of averages.
Yeah.
AG. Right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for listening to our third 12 Rambles of Christmas, a daily countdown of what we see as the 12 defining topics in football since we first switched on our mics.
Yeah, and if you've got any ideas, let us know shortthefootballramble.com for the chance to win a Toshiba television.
And if you are listening, Dane Bowers, get in touch, although you are not eligible for the TV.
There we are. Say goodbye, Luke.
Oh, goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Petey.
We only got 4 minutes to save the world, Marcus.
Oh, well, let's go then.
It's Christmas!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Thank you.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.